Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse Tapia is rocking with us today. We're hanging out with you till noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they'll take you up to 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento's sports leader. Do you have a favorite brewery in Sacramento? We're talking about beer at the break.
No, I'm not a huge beer guy.
Nice. Okay, very good. I'm not going to start naming breweries because I was going to just start throwing some out, but I don't want to leave any out that I like because there are so many. Sacramento's got a great beer scene. Yeah. That was the moral of my story.
So does Auburn. Auburn has a great beer scene too. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole area, has really good beer. Anyways, he's James. I'm Kyle. I'm not usually a hockey guy. Like, I like hockey fine, but I don't lock in for hockey, for the NHL specifically, the way I do, you know, with the NBA or MLB or the NFL. But what the NHL has done is they tried. So their All-Star game stunk, right? It was the equivalent of the NBA All-Star game in terms of like the scores would be outrageous and whatever. They tried to make it a team thing. The way the NBA did, that didn't work either. I went to it when it was in San Jose, not an entertaining product, didn't have a good time. So they're doing the Four Nations face-off in lieu of an All-Star game. And so if you're not familiar, they took what they were going to take the top four teams in the IIHF rankings. So Canada is one, I believe Sweden is two, and the U.S. is four. But Russia is three, but Russia is sanctioned by the IIHF because of the war in Ukraine. And then the German team, which is number five, I think. So US four and Germany was five. Yeah, that's right. And Germany doesn't have enough players in the NHL to field a team. So they moved to number six, Finland, and they just played a round robin tournament. Every team plays each other once, and then they move on to a final, which is the US versus Canada. Tonight, I don't want to break down the United States versus Canada game. The U.S. beat them 3-1 in their round robin matchup. But could the NBA pull something like this off?
I think they
like a mini Olympics instead of an All-Star game.
I think if you did like areas, right? So if you did Serbia and a couple other countries around Serbia that have players. You know, Serbia.
Yeah, like sections of the world.
Yeah, Lithuania. Like, you could do France, Spain, like, you know, like small sections, like European Union team. And I don't know.
You'd have to play with it a little bit for sure. Pause.
I mean, Canada could field a team without any problems. But I don't know how many other nations could field a team by themselves. You know, like France and Spain, sure, like they can come close to building a team.
Is a simple solution just USA versus the world?
That's the simple solution, but the world would kick the USA's ass in that game.
Wow, Kyle hates America.
Would that not be an uncompetitive game?
I don't think so. I don't think it'd be uncompetitive.
Okay. I think it would be a competitive. I think it would be competitive. I don't know. I mean,
let's do the world starting lineup. SGA.
Okay.
Jokic is in the starting lineup.
Yep.
For sure.
Throw Giannis
Wemby's
in there.
In the starting lineup.
Giannis
playing the three?
Luka.
Is that what we're doing?
He's in the starting five. That's what we know.
Oh, you
SGA,
might be right.
SGA, Luka, Giannis, Jokic, and Wemby is your starting five?
Probably.
My goodness.
Bring him out to the three-point line.
That's solid.
Rudy
to quite
Gobert's
solid.
On that team. Bogey?
Yeah, he's coming off the bench.
Bogdanovic?
Yep.
Probably coming off the bench. He might be the sixth man.
Okay.
Team USA. Steph. Oh, hey. Domas is on the international team, obviously.
Oh, yeah. We did
sixth man.
Steph, KD, LeBron, Tatum. Unless Steve Kerr's the coach.
Unless Steve Kerr's the coach. And of course, Tyrese Halliburton. I don't know what you're talking about.
Jason Tatum isn't mentioned one time.
In the documentary?
Yeah.
He's not mentioned one time in the Olympics either.
I know.
What?
They showed footage of No, he gets mentioned as like the, because they're talking about the construction of Team USA and how they have the old guys and then they have the like new wave of players. And it's Malika Andrews, and she mentions like Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum. And the footage of Jason Tatum was against Canada in one of the like friendly pre-Olympic matches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dang, that's tough.
I love Jason Tatum, but it's like, if you, what are you gonna, he's gonna kill the vibes of the whole documentary if you talk to him about it.
Yeah, facts. 100%.
I think it's interesting too, because if you look at the way, like, you know, there we had it on the rundown, but we never got to it. The debate on whether you can have the U.S. born player has to be the face of the NBA was
We can get to that right now.
Stephen A. Smith brought that up, and I don't agree with that at all. But I also, like, when they bring up players that it could be, it, like, Jason Tatum's name comes up and it's like, well, he's just too boring. Like, there's just not enough there as far as like personality, mm-hmm. and like, you know, what is he going to bring? And I think there is a shift happening right now in the NBA that's been happening for like the last 30 years, but we're to the point where it's almost surpassed, where like the face of the NBA, it doesn't have to be a U.S. born player, at least not in my book.
I don't think so either, man. The game is just, because Stephen A. Smith was talking about it and was like, basketball is an international game, but the NBA is an American sport. Like, bro, I don't think fans, especially younger fans, don't look at it that way.
Well, and wasn't
I don't think if Victor Wembanyama winds up being the player we all think he's going to be,
mm-hmm.
and he averages for 5 years, 30, 15, 6, and 5 blocks, like, he's going to be the face of the league. He's going to win a bunch of titles, and everyone's going to love Wemby.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to be like, wow, I need some Jalen Brunson in my life. It's just that's not a thing that's going to happen.
Yeah, and like Ramsey brings up in the chat, I think we all know the face of Major League Baseball, it doesn't matter how much they try to make it Aaron Judge, it's clear.
A great point. It's a fantastic point.
I mean,
Shohei's the face of the league right now.
Shohei is the face of the league.
Whether you like it or not, and Aaron Judge is extremely popular. Like, don't get it twisted. Aaron Judge is an extremely popular player as well. But Shohei's the face of baseball.
No, of course he
and
is.
And that's why it could be Wemby, it could be Luka, it could be Giannis, whatever it is. Like, that, I think it's ridiculous. I also wonder, though.
Go ahead. Well, if we're talking NFL, like, I get it, because it's not played around the world. But these other sports, they are played around the world. It, you know, like, basketball is, it's the most global game that we have, right? It is, I think, probably, like, cricket is played in more places and, you know, like, is more popular worldwide. Soccer is more popular worldwide than baseball or than basketball. But basketball is the one Americanized sport that has gone out and really tried to expand its brand and make it a global brand. And that was David Stern's idea. And he pushed to make it as big as possible. And we're now seeing the success of it, you know, where it doesn't have to be a 7'3" kid from, you know, Kentucky. It can be a 7'3" kid from France, you know, and not only that, but what they've done to, you know, Basketball Without Borders to get into communities and really help develop a community and find stars within a community that go back and help that community grow and become better. I mean, it really is a global brand that I think extends way past the U.S. borders. And I mean, am I mistaken? Wasn't it invented by a Canadian basketball? I mean,
yeah, Steve Nash.
Yeah, Steve Nash, of course. But it is what it is, right? I just don't understand why we have to put a limit on it.
The Thompson twins are from the U.S., right?
I believe.
We have the Thompsons? Okay, thank God. I saw a bunch of people saying Domas. I saw. I don't know. I just didn't know if they were international. I saw a bunch of people saying Domas is born in Portland.
He was.
Domas literally plays for Team Lithuania.
Yeah, yeah. He was born in Portland, but
he would. I don't think he would be on the U.S. team.
No. I mean, he could play for either, like, technically speaking.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm just looking at the idea of a Team USA. I'm trying to just jot down names on the fly here.
The Thompson twins were born in San Leandro.
Well, yeah. Baycats. Let's go. No, maybe Team USA's depth makes it more interesting, but I don't know. It'd be worth a shot, right? To do for a year.
It'd be entertaining, at least, I think, if they play.
I think they've tried to do this, haven't they? I think they did. They tried to do a U.S. versus the world. Maybe 8 years ago. Well,
they did that with, the Rising Stars, right? Isn't that what the Rising Stars Challenge was?
Maybe you're right. Maybe it was Rising Stars. I don't know. I mean, you can easily do it with the main team. But, are you going to hit a cap on players? I think you'd have to invite more people. Because what you don't want to do is invite the best 24 players and hope that it's an even split 12-12. So, you know what I mean?
It wouldn't be an all-star game, necessarily. Yeah. It wouldn't be all made up of all-stars, but I feel like the NBA is going to do something pretty significant at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's being as drastic as the NHL was and whacking the all-star game entirely and turning it into this mini Olympics.
Can you even do that all-star selections are tied to contracts and all that?
Oh.
Yeah, you'd have to maybe have a ceremonial all-star badge. Hey, cool, you were an all-star. But I'm not a hockey guy, and I've been locked into this Four Nations face-off thing. It's been so much fun. The guys play so hard.
And they beat up on each other.
Yeah, USA and Canada dropped gloves 3 seconds into their game.
Yeah.
And it just maybe it's one of those things that's just hockey players are built diff and whatever. But I look at the success of this for the NHL. I'm like, man, I'm sure Adam Silver with his willingness to take from other leagues, I'm sure he has an eye on it.
Oh, I'm sure he already does. Yeah.
I don't know that a Team USA versus the world thing. It matches. You look at Steph, KD, LeBron, okay, that's great. But what happens in 3 years when those guys are all out of the league? That's kind of what I wonder what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I think we are heading towards that phase where not only are most of the stars leaving, but most of the big personalities are leaving. And a lot of the current stars, they don't have a lot of I don't know. They're not shameless self-promoters. You know, there isn't another Jimmy Butler that's coming along unless Anthony Edwards, a guy who's out there and Anthony Edwards might be the one guy who's been extremely vocal. The rest of the young star group is pretty quiet and it's just different.
And the ones who aren't and who are on TikTok and vocalize the way young people vocalize now get shouted down as weird and not focused on basketball.
Yeah. No, that's very true.
You're incentivized. You're incentivized to be boring now. But then, if you're boring, you get told you can't be the face of the league. Even though, Steph's pretty boring. I know he hasn't technically been the face of the NBA, but he's one of them. And I wouldn't say he's a super exciting personality.
Yeah,
he's pretty boring, right?
Steph?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. He's definitely a guy who has, him and his wife have the cooking show, the other things that they've done outside of basketball to let you in see their inner circle. But he is, an introvert. He's quiet. He's
Off the court. He's pretty boring. On the court. Yeah. He's excited, but off the court. Yeah. It's I don't know.
I think he is willing to talk to media and do interviews and he's always really gracious with that. So maybe that's why he's just out there more. But I don't know.
Yeah, burrito abuser in the chat brings up that Malik Monk will talk some stuff. I can't read the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, there are players like Malik Monk that there is a place for a Malik Monk to become wildly popular league wide because he is, that type of personality that we're talking about. But I think there's also... there's not enough of those guys right now that are out there that are part of this the brashness that we've seen. So I don't know. The league has to figure themselves out. What's next for them? And we live in a different culture right now where a lot of young people are quiet. There are introverts. They do play a lot of video games. They do. There is a lot less socializing, and you know, so finding these personalities and getting them to like develop that personality and be able to, you know, exude that in an interview form or, you know, on the court, so sure, you're entertaining, isn't easy.
King's first half awards and superlatives coming up, and then we have not even gotten to the NBA game that happened last night.
Oh, that's true.
LaMelo cooked Luka Doncic, and the Hornets beat the Lakers. What does that mean for the Kings? We'll tell you next. We're the Insiders. That's Shams. I'm Kyle. Jesse Tapia is rocking with us today. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. That's James. I'm Kyle. Jesse Tapia is rocking with us today. We're hanging out with you till noon. The handoff with one of D'Lo or KC coming up in about 20 minutes. The Lakers and Hornets opened up the second half of the NBA season last night, and the Hornets won.
Yeah, not a good
look. Tough scene for the Lakers. 100-97 was your final score there. They led by 11 at halftime and then got outscored by 14 in the third quarter. They lost the third quarter 32-18.
That's not good.
And they ended up losing by 3.
Yeah, they're going to have a little bit of transition issues here as they try to figure out the Luka Doncic, LeBron James tandem. And again, the Mark Williams thing, like that that trade getting rescinded. We had more news on that today, Kyle, where like they his agent and a lot of other people are coming out and saying that there's no way he failed his physical, that they didn't, they even, you know, they said Mark Williams came out and said like he had no idea he had failed his physical with the Lakers. He went through the physical process, what? Did everything fine, and then walked out.
He played last night.
Yeah, he played against them, but like the whole, this whole weird story about this, I will tell you, like I've heard multiple people like in NBA circles say, hey, like Mark Williams can't practice like most of the time. His back is bad. He can't play a ton of minutes. He can't play and he misses a lot of games and you're about to have to pay him. And so it made sense that they would trade him because they were worried about paying a player that they couldn't rely on as and were worried about his long-term health. And so for a player like that to fail a physical, okay, it doesn't shock me. It's just like the repercussions afterwards or like the way it's playing out afterwards where like agents coming out and like saying like multiple medical doctors have said like there's no reason for him to fail a physical. And so, I mean, that's his agent trying to cover for a young player, but this is a mess. And I think the Lakers would be a much better team if they had Mark Williams. Although, like, I don't know that I'd want to invest heavily in somebody that's, you know, 22, 23 years old with back problems, too.
Alex Len played 10 minutes for them last night for the Lakers.
Mm, yeah. 0 points.
He grabbed one rebound. No points. He's ran a plus 8, though.
No shot attempts.
There were a plus 8 in his 10 minutes.
That's wild.
But then you go look and Jared Vanderbilt is supposed to be a good defender, was a minus 17 last night. In 13 minutes. Dalton Connect plays 13 minutes. Gabe Vincent playing 20 minutes. You got Dorian Finney-Smith playing 28 minutes off the bench. The LeBron and Luka thing is obviously a remarkable duo of top-end players. But A, Luka is really struggling shooting the ball right now. He went 1-for-9 from 3 last night. Did have 11 boards and 8 assists. But he only scored 14 points.
He turned the ball over 6 times.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to get enough stops to win games. Like Miles Bridges had 29, LaMelo Ball had 27 for Charlotte last night. You mentioned Mark Williams, he had 10-9. Nick Smith Jr. had 12 points. Seth Curry had 10 off the bench. I think that's going to be a problem for the Lakers moving forward. Is I just don't know. Like we talk about the Kings' issues defensively, I think the Lakers maybe not to the same extent, but are going to have similar issues down the stretch here.
Yeah, and I mean I think you're right. If you look at like Rui Hachimura, like why is Rui Hachimura starting over Dorian Finney-Smith? If I've got Luka Doncic in the game, I know he's not a good defender. I need as many defenders on the court as possible, and so that's one move that I could see them, you know, sort of trying out. It might, you know, anger Rui Hachimura. But it's something that, like, you can see where that might be a spot where he would be a productive second team guy. He would have a lot more shots with the second team. I think you're going to have a tough time with the backcourt of Austin Reaves and Luka Doncic. Like, yep. The Austin Reaves as a plus defender thing, I've never bought, and I've watched teams cook him repeatedly throughout his career. And so I'm always like, hey, why, you know, you've got to figure out ways to, like, build a team around Luka, and yep. You got to find ways to build a team around LeBron. And I don't know that those two things can happen at the same time. So we're going to see, like, a weird clunky thing that could somehow make it to the second or third round of the playoffs in a weird way, because they do have so much talent. It could. I mean, they have so much talent, though, between just those two players, that they could. You know, you could see LeBron willing them through a playoff series, and you could see Luka carrying them through a playoff series. It's just whether or not that they can actually blend together and make something special that, you know, could compete for a championship, which I don't see in year one or year two. And by that point, you know, how much longer is LeBron going to play?
I'm trying to find a good clip to play for you guys of LaMelo Ball getting isolated against Luka Doncic at the top of the key. Did you see this play?
No.
Oh, I'm so excited for you to watch this. I'm hoping this works. I did not get to pre-screen this highlight beforehand, so I'm going to mute it and hope that it is not... okay, we're good. All right, very good. Let me share this. This is... Jesse, I should have sent this to you. This is my bad. I'm just so used to having to do this.
Produce on the fly. Yeah, it's fine.
Here we go. Okay, LaMelo had Luka on skates. Okay, there we go. There's that. And then... Because this is not, and let me be clear, when I show this is not a matter of like, oh man, Luka Doncic actually stinks. It's just a really good, like, glaring example of, there we go, we can pull that up.
Of Luka Doncic stinking.
Being bad at defense. Okay, are we good to go?
Yeah.
No, why did that happen? There we go. Okay, here we go. I don't know why this keeps doing that.
Okay. Let's see if Kyle can get this thing working.
Nope, I can't. That's fine. We tried. We had a good time with it. Luka got cooked by LaMelo Ball, and it was just a perfect, like, one play encapsulation of... And this is not to say that the Mavs did the right thing. They didn't. They did the wrong thing here. They mm-hmm. should not have traded Luka Doncic. There's no world where... I think the worlds where they wind up being vindicated in that are very, very few. But when you started talking about it and you started hearing about concerns for the Lakers within this season specifically, it's like that one play where it's just LaMelo, Luka isolated top of the key, and Luka just has nothing for him. Like, he was trying, like, the effort was there, which is, I guess, good. But LaMelo takes one step to his left, and Luka just full jumps to that side, and LaMelo cooks him, gets to the rim and scores. I think that's going to be a real problem for LA this year.
I mean, it was a real problem for Dallas in the playoffs. Like, they got to the finals and the Celtics just kept switching on to Luka. They kept getting the ball. Whoever Luka was defending, they kept switching it on to that player, and mm-hmm. he would cook them. He would get cooked. And, like,
every time.
It's really tough when you have a player, and that's where, like, when we talk about the Kings and how this, you know, like, Zach LaVine can actually stay in front of a player. Yes. On ball, like, he's a better defender than Luka. It's off ball, getting lost, getting, you know, the switching defense, you know, guys back cutting him, and just, like, the basketball, the defensive acumen overall isn't great. And it's tough to have a good defense when, you know, you have a player who, again, when he's on, it's a lot of players in the league are like this. You know, I think mm-hmm. for me, the biggest example was always Tyreek Evans. When Tyreek Evans had the ball, he's incredible. Mm-hmm. Anytime he didn't have the ball, I had an assistant describe it as he looked like he was waiting for a bus. Like, he's just standing there, like, hand on hip. You're like, hey, bro, like, what are you doing?
You need to be involved in the offense here.
Yeah, like, keep moving. Like, what are you doing? And then on the defensive side of the ball, it was the same thing. Like, if he was, like, locked up with somebody, he's incredible. You know, long arms, like, incredible lateral quickness, super strong physical player. The second it got switched to another player, it was like, oh, now he's ball watching. Now he's, again, waiting for a bus. And you're, like, looking that way. Where's the bus at? Where's the bus at? Boom, guy hits you on the back cut, and you're toast. And yep. there are a lot of players that are like that in the league, and there's no way, like, at this point, 11 years into a career, to try to get Zach LaVine to, like, become a great defender. But what you can do is you can try to hide and try to mask some of these issues by, like, figuring out defensive sets that actually play to his strengths. And, like, we'll have to see. That's where this whole thing in the second half of the season is going to be about coaching and about trying to get guys to buy in.
I guess, man. The problem is it's not just Zach LaVine. It's like Malik Monk's not an awesome defender. DeMar DeRozan's not an awesome defender. Domantas Sabonis, not a great rim protector in the paint. Like, it's just there's so many flaws they have to try and hide that I don't know how you do it all at once.
No, I agree. And
That's why I have a really hard time being optimistic.
Yeah, whether they had, I don't know if they had practice last night or not. Like, they're supposed to tell us if they do have practice. They're supposed to have media availability. They did not. So they do have practice today. And then not only that, but the Kings play on Friday. They don't play again until Monday. So they should have a Saturday and a Sunday practice, or at least a Saturday practice and a film session on Sunday, something like shoot around. Like they should have some time here. Where they should be able to work out some of the issues and get on the same page. But I think it's more about, like, fluidity, trying to learn how to play on a string together, communicating, that kind of stuff that you can fix early on, and then hope that, you know, they just find chemistry on the court. And you won't know it until you roll the ball out and start playing. And sure. They, you know, that's the only way for this team to get better at some of these things. We can talk about limitations of players, but they can't get better. They can get better because they'll learn how to play to each other's strengths, and that's how you sort of mask some of the issues that players have. But they need practice time, they need game time, and unfortunately, everything is, like, magnified when there's only 27 games left in the season, and you're in a full sprint to the finish line, and your schedule's tough. And that's why, you know, we try not to be too negative, but, like, at the end of the day, I think both of us have been more on the negative side of what we're going to see unfold here in the final month of the season.
Yeah, that's where it stands for me right now. If they go win six in a row, I'll adjust my expectations accordingly. But right now they're pretty low. I've seen a few people jumping into the chat as the show has gone on here. And hello, welcome, appreciate you. And asking about if we've talked about Victor Wembanyama. Yeah, we talked about that top of the show.
Yeah,
obviously a scary situation for him health wise, and we're hoping that the taking the rest of the season off allows him to get healthy and continue his meteoric trajectory to be one of the best NBA players of all time.
Yeah, so if people out there missed it, Victor Wembanyama has a deep vein thrombosis. He has a blood clot in his shoulder. And so there is concern there, and they're going to shut him down. I was reading he had been a little lethargic, like lacked energy over the last few days. And when they got him back from the All-Star week, they felt the same thing. During All-Star weekend, he was just kind of like he didn't have energy. And so when they went and checked him out when he got back to San Antonio, they quickly started to figure that something was wrong. And that's where they ended up finding the issue in his shoulder.
That's terrifying, man.
Yeah. So Joey in the chat says same thing Chris Bosh had with a question mark. We don't know yet. Chris Bosh actually ended up having a blood clotting disorder that happens. You know, like some people have blood clotting disorders and they're higher risk for things like stroke or higher risk for blood clots and stuff like that. But you just don't know. It's way too early to know what's going on with Victor Wembanyama. We do know like what they'll do right now is they'll put him on blood thinners. They'll try to clear out the clot, get the thing to dissolve and, you know, sort of,
yeah.
And they'll keep a close eye on it.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. He's okay. Other like small bit of news, just real quick. Want to keep the NFL in the conversation if we can.
Yeah.
John Feliciano retired. Former Niners offensive lineman announced his retirement today. That's a thing that happened.
Yeah, 33 years old.
I don't have a lot. I'd have a lot on it.
His knee just, like, he just kept saying is he tried to give it a go and there's nothing he could do to get his knee to come back around. Yeah, tough. I mean, the NFL is a brutal sport.
Like, John Feliciano, it was like just an okay player.
A dude.
Right? He's fine. If he was healthy, he might have competed for the starting right guard job with the Niners last year, because in 23, he ended up playing, I think, starting 7 games at the 2 guard spots and was pretty good. So maybe he would have been in the mix, but like not a great player. But in his retirement announcement, basically said, I don't think I can make it through a whole season. I don't want to let my teammates down. Like, that's the worst part. I don't want to do that again. But hey, Buffalo or San Francisco, if you need anybody in the playoffs, give me a call. like, bro, you're John Feliciano. Relax. you're not Joe Burrow here.
No.
Or pick a good player. I don't know why I went with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that's... yeah. Well, I mean, he's not Larry Allen, the, you know, greatest right guard of all time.
That's a good one. There you go.
Yeah.
Shout out to Larry Allen. All right. RIP, right?
I think so.
He passed? Yeah.
I do believe so.
I feel like that's the thing that happened during our show.
Definitely. It's very possible that it could have happened during the time that we... June 2nd, 2024. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And then the Kings today, you mentioned, are practicing.
Yeah, we
have availability at 1 p.m. They're going to save the world with this one practice. Everybody watch out.
Like, it is what
they're going to solve all their problems.
Yeah, the league has, like, very strict regulations on when you can practice, when you can't, coming out of the break. You have to give everybody who participated in All-Star Weekend, like, an extra day to return to teams. But the other players, they can't come. They can't have official practices until team-sanctioned things until, I think, it's either Tuesday or Wednesday. So, like, there's a point where everyone has to come back in the building and you have to, like, check in. And then they can't hold official practices until one specific day, which I think was yesterday. I think that they should have been able to practice yesterday. And, you know, maybe they just had film session. Maybe they just had, like, everybody get back in the gym and start shooting type thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe some walkthroughs. But if they didn't have media, then it chances are it wasn't a full-fledged practice.
Do we think that's why the Hornets beat the Lakers? Because they didn't have anyone at All-Star Weekend and got more time to practice.
Oh, there it is. That's the excuse.
That's got to be it.
Even though LeBron sat out All-Star Weekend, even though he was there, but he sat out.
The more I think about that, the more I think he did that in protest of having to play on Wednesday.
It's possible. It's possible, but like, would you... Like, it's always tough because would you rather have that game on Wednesday coming out of the All-Star break, or would you rather them stick it in the middle of a schedule down the road? Because, like, NBA schedules, especially down the stretch...
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, would you rather them look at the NBA schedule for the month of March, which is already packed with games, and try to fit in an additional game there?
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Because you have to make up the game no matter what. That's...
Yeah.
The league makes you...
That's
make it
true.
Up.
That's fair.
So would all you right. rather have it right there to open up and like realistically against a really bad team, you should have used that as a scrimmage and you should have been able to beat that team, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. Would sure. you rather have had it then, or would you rather have it down the road? And, you know, it is what it is.
Kings got to watch out. They play the Hornets coming up on Monday.
I believe so. Monday. Yeah. Monday. They have Saturday, Sunday off where, again, they'll probably have a couple more days of practice.
The red hot Charlotte Hornets coming to Golden 1 Center.
That's right.
Watch out, everybody. All right. The handoff with one of D'Lo or Casey. I don't know which one it is. One of D'Lo or Casey. Maybe Jesse. I don't know. Is coming up next. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hammond, Kyle Madsen, and Jesse Tapia rocking with us on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. Yeah, James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, Jesse Tapia is hanging out with us. And now Kenny Caraway is here for the handoff. Hello, Kenny. How are you, man?
There we go. What's going on? What's going on? I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. That hat is awful, and you just choose to continue to wear it all the time, but whatever.
So here's, can I tell you, I usually don't think about what hat, because I have over 100 just fitted hats. Mm. That doesn't include my dad hat selection, yeah. which is this like unconstructed type of hat, right?
Yeah.
And I don't usually think I just grab whichever one I think matches with what I'm wearing that day. And I just grab one. And then when I'm at home, I just grab whichever one is right in front of me. Mm. And I usually don't even think about it, but today I picked this one up and I put it on. And I was like, you know what? if Kenny's in for the handoff, this is going to derail the start of the handoff. He's going to say something for sure.
Yeah, because it's disrespectful. It really is. It's disrespectful.
Why? To the national champions. Just representing a winner.
I'm sorry. Why didn't you wear Michigan when they were national champions just a year ago?
Good point.
I never saw no Michigan hat.
Oh, why would I? Because I don't. Because nobody gave me a Michigan hat. Somebody gave me an Ohio State hat.
Okay.
You want to give me a Michigan hat? I'll wear a Michigan hat.
Everything changes,
especially
now.
You know what? It changes. Given the deterioration of my relationship with Chris Biederman, hang on one second.
Oh no! Oh no!
Yeah, somebody get me a Michigan hat, and I will wear it in the game.
Chris Biederman. You know the ironic thing about this rivalry is red is like my favorite color.
Oh.
Like in all seriousness, like their color schemes, their uniform stuff, it is pretty fire. Like all that stuff is fire. And they're with Nike. Now Jordan, Michigan came back because we were Jordan brand. You know what I'm saying? Now we back. Mm-hmm. You see, we cooking again. But when they were with Adidas, oh, it was nasty for your boy. I didn't get no gear when they had Adidas. I wasn't doing that. What are we doing?
Yeah, that was gross. Somebody the other day was doing it. I think it was Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team, was doing a rewatch of the 98 draft and posted the highlight video that they played when Charles Woodson got picked. I've been workshopping this take for a while, I think I'm convicted in the take, but I'm not 100% there yet. I'm at like 95%.
Okay.
I think Charles Woodson might have had the best football career ever.
Huh.
Football career ever.
You mean just college and pro?
I'd have to think about it.
Like there's definitely like other people in the discussion for sure, but just the way he dominated at Michigan and how like uniquely of a like force he was as a defender, and then to go to the Raiders and be awesome, and then to go to the Packers and to win a defensive player of the year at a completely different position that he got drafted at. He won a Super Bowl, won a Rose Bowl, won a Heisman, won a DPOY national championship.
That's the one that gets me, because the first person I thought of that, and not for argument's sake, I was just trying to think, because I think he's on the short list. I think we're talking about like 5 to 3 players who could even talk about that. The first person I thought about was Peyton. And the thing that he has over Peyton, though, is the national championship. And I don't think Peyton won a Heisman either. Because the year he was supposed to, that was Charles Woodson's year. That was Peyton, one of Peyton's big years. Did you ever see the 30 for 30 on that season? Charles Woodson's, it's fantastic. What they do is they just take, I think it's, maybe it's a little bit more than ESPN, but they tell the story in clips, like video clips. There's no narrator, there's no interviews. They just tell the story of the 98 season.
Oh, that's sick.
And hey, here's this clip of College Game Day and what they had to say at the start of this. And that's it. It's great. It is really, really good.
Sick.
I gotta be careful on this show, but I got a bone to pick with both of you guys. I was so upset. Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, I preferenced it. I should be okay.
Play on.
I should be. Yeah. Thanks.
All right.
I was so perturbed. I even got in the chat. I don't think you guys saw me.
Oh,
I didn't.
Yeah, I got in the chat. You guys were talking about MVPs.
Why didn't anyone let me know?
Well, it was just one comment. It could have went under the radar. But you're talking about MVPs. You're talking about Jokic. Talking about SGA. And I just asked the question. Giannis died.
Giannis is the fifth seed now.
Giannis just retired and died. What is Denver? Denver's the third seed?
Third seed, yeah.
Okay.
They're a half game back of the two seed.
Okay. Giannis is awesome.
Giannis is awesome as well.
But Giannis is 32-12-6. And for two people that try to bench a Hall of Famer because he don't play defense, we now ignore Giannis as a top five defender in the game?
Can I real quick. I don't disagree. I think this is a fine take. Giannis is currently plus 12,500 to win the MVP.
And he's not going to win. Like, he's not going to win.
So he's not going to win.
That wasn't the argument I was going to make. But there was no mention of Giannis. And
okay,
there never
that's
is.
Fair. That's a fair critique. That's a good critique by you.
Yeah, but how long is Giannis out for?
That's a good question.
Yeah, because he's already missed 12 games. He's already missed 12 games, and I don't know that he's going to be eligible. Like, I seem to remember he was going to miss like 3 to 4 weeks or something. And so there's a possibility that he won't be eligible at all. Wait, I think there's a lot of players who won't be eligible.
Well, Sabonis might get the MVP.
Sabonis certainly.
Watch out, everyone.
He just keeps looking better and better and better for all NBA.
Hey, like, let's not rule out Norman Powell. All
that's right.
Norm Powell. That's true. Norm Powell.
Everybody relax. Norm Powell's having a heck of a year. Salute.
No, that was a good discussion you guys had. I just thought about it. And it's not just you two. It's just any NBA conversation. Just Giannis just don't exist.
Well, we had the straw poll the other day. You had it pulled up, right? The Tim Bontemps.
He was third in the straw poll.
Straw poll.
I saw Tim Bontemps over the weekend.
Oh, did you
talk to him? We just crossed paths.
You didn't say hi?
No.
Just saw him.
I wish I would have. Like,
how was All Star Weekend?
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. I like it. It checks off all the boxes that I like. I like people watching. I'm cool with crowds. I like, you know, being behind the scenes and stuff. So it checked off all the boxes. I said on Monday, for what I do with All-Star Weekend and how I go about it, it's great. It's perfect. I don't have no deadlines. I don't have no stories to write. I don't have none of that. Mm-hmm. If I was James Hamm, I probably would have done the same thing as you. Like, I don't have to go, so I'm not going to go. It, like, sure. The things that we have to do at All-Star Weekend are different. So I could understand a writer's aspect, not wanting to do anything with it, but I'm just there for the vibe, so it's hella fun. Like, I had a blast.
Yeah, I mean, it's very unique, and I enjoyed my trips to All-Star Weekend, but if you don't have a player who's in it, and even if you do, it's such limited, like, you get so little, like, one-on-one time. Actually, you get no one-on-one time, and the time you do get is totally interrupted by people asking, like, ridiculously stupid questions, typically. And so, like, it goes by really fast. It's kind of chaotic. I always enjoy the Hall of Fame aspect of it because that's where it's not just, like, who's a finalist is there, but on top of who's a finalist, like, a lot of the Hall of Famers are actually there. Mm. And you can sit there and talk to them. I mean, getting to interview Hakeem or getting to interview Patrick Ewing, like, incredible moments where you're like, oh, this is wild. I'm, like, standing here talking to legends. So that for me is like one of the bigger parts of it. But if you don't have a player represented and you are typically writing it, whether it's on deadline or whatever, like it just adds more to the day. And that if they're not going to be there, it's like, okay, it doesn't have a ton of value to me.
And I could imagine if you do have a player represented there, you're so focused on what they're doing, you don't get a chance to do the other stuff. Then All-Star, like, you don't get to go to the Hennessy Arena because you've got to follow Isaac Jones at the G League thing. Yeah, the Hennessy Arena was popping. That's where the WNBA players were at.
Oh, okay.
I didn't go.
You're in VIP there, you said? That's crazy.
No, I did. I wasn't there. I was at the Jordan event in Alameda. I missed
that. Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, no, that's my bad. You're at the Jordan event. You were running that one. That
was a pop-up. It wasn't.
What do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and Casey?
Man, can you win a championship with Luka Doncic?
Ooh, that's a good question. We're stealing that for tomorrow. Listen to D-Lo and Casey talk about that, and then you'll hear James and I talk about that same thing tomorrow. we're all just trying to get to tomorrow where the Kings are playing. We're surviving. D-Lo and Casey coming up next. Should be a ton of fun. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse Tapia, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We're the Insiders. We're back tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water, be nice to people. See ya!